Have you surrendered your heart to Christ? If so, the Holy Spirit will see you through to completion. But what does that mean? Let's find out today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you alive with Christ. He is the convictor, he's the converter, he's the comforter and the counselor. He's the one that works in you in this thing called sanctification. He's the one that chips away those rough spots in you to make you the person that God wants you to be. He's not going to leave you unfinished. And the moment that you're justified, you can mark it down. You will one day be glorified because it's not on you, it's on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to see you to completion.
Thank you for joining us today for From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who is in his new 6-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. Many have called that the greatest chapter in the Bible. Now here's a question for you to answer in your heart today. Do you have a hopeful anticipation for the return of Christ? Are you longing for His future glory? Well, you should be, because the anticipation is a blessing and a comfort in troubled times. Future glory is the title of today's message, and we'll hear part two of the lesson today. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, then we'll do some catching up before we begin today's portion. And of course, you can always listen again online anytime once it's aired when you go to fromhisheart.org and click the Listen tab. Right now, let's discover exactly why we should get excited about His future glory. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Question, are you longing for the return of Jesus Christ and for His coming glory? Because Jesus Himself said in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes, He comes with power and great glory. So let's look at the first witness. The first witness that groans longing for the return of Christ is creation. The creation is groaning for His return. So it said in verse 19 that the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, why is creation so thrilled and excited and longing and groaning for the revealing of the sons of God, for the coming of the Lord? Well, it's for two reasons. Number one, when Adam fell, the creation was cursed. And then the Lord says to Adam, because you have done this, you've listened to the voice of your wife, cursed is the ground because of you. And so creation itself wants to be set free from that. And when Jesus returns in His glory and the sons of God are revealed in glory, then creation will be set free. When man is glorified in Jesus Christ, then creation will be set free. So the creation is groaning for His return. Second witness, you have the Christian. And the Christian is groaning and longing for His return. He says in verse 23, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body. Now, He's already talked about us being adopted into the family of God, and that has taken place, but it hasn't taken place to the fullest extent, because the ultimate final adoption as sons is the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is not seen is not hope, for why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. You say, what does that mean? Well, hope in the Bible is confident expectation. And the Lord is saying, see, you can know for certain that I am going to ultimately redeem you because I've given you my Spirit and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Remember we talked about the three tenses of salvation? We have past tense, which is justification, Now, present tense salvation is the Lord who comes into your life, the Holy Spirit of God. He's working on you. He's sanctifying you. He's chipping away at you. He puts to death the deeds of the body. He helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then there is this ultimate redemption, ultimate salvation, this future tense of salvation, and that is glorification. We will be glorified. We will say goodbye to this body of sin, this flesh that is at war with God, and we'll get a brand new body just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Christ returns, we will be glorified. Now, the longer we live on this earth and the more we grow in the Christian life, the more we groan for glorification. That's the desire of a Christian. But we also groan the more we grow spiritually. Why? Because we know that we want to please God, we want to honor God, but we're still dealing with selfishness, we're still dealing with jealousy, we're still dealing with pride, we're still dealing with greed and with lust and with insecurities. Those things, they haven't gone away. Now, hopefully we are rising above those things and defeating those things. Verse 13, if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so we're constantly having to put to death the deeds of the body because they're still there and they're still pulling at us. So we groan because we want to be set free from the body of this death. And then the more we consider, the more we rejoice in sufferings. As you set your mind on the glory that shall be revealed to us, that's why he says in verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. It's not even worthy. The sufferings that you're going through, whatever those sufferings are. You know, you talk to some people who have legitimate issues in their life. And it's such a contrast because you have Christians that endure suffering through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they just kind of minimize those and they say, oh, it's not so bad. You know, it's like my mom, you know, I can't walk, can't hear, can't see, but overall I'm doing great. And she has a good spirit about it. And then you have other Christians that are, woe is me. They just moan and groan and grind, not in a good way, the groaning. It's kind of like the children of Israel, that kind of moaning and murmuring. There's no water. What are we going to do? We don't have any water. All we have to eat is this manna. I'm so sick of this manna. And they're always grumbling and griping and complaining. We're not to be like that. And the sufferings of this present time, no matter how bad your sufferings, Paul had a lot of sufferings. He called them momentary light affliction. Momentary light affliction is producing for me, he said, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So when he really thought about it, for I consider, that means to esteem, to think on, to reckon. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, no matter how bad they might be, it's not even worthy to be compared to what God has in store for us. As it said about creation, creation is groaning like a woman giving birth, getting ready to give birth. And the more we consider, the more we're able to rejoice in sufferings. Hey, here's the problem that we have. The sufferings are real, and we know what that's like. And we know about the hardships and difficulties and pain. And physical pain is hard. I'm not trying to minimize that. If you're in physical pain, I realize that can make us very short-tempered and irritable because we hurt. But you can have emotional pain. Between physical pain and emotional pain, physical pain is easier to deal with than emotional pain. But pain is pain. And so we have this pain that we're very well aware of because it's in our lives. When we think about future glory, we have a harder time understanding what that is. Because God doesn't tell us everything about what life is going to be like during the millennial kingdom. He doesn't tell us everything about our glorious body. It's going to be a body like Jesus in terms of glory. He doesn't tell us everything about heaven. He tells us enough for us. There are no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. All the no mores that you read about in Revelation chapter 21. He tells us about that. But it's kind of an unknown for us. The Bible says, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So we have a tendency to magnify our problems here on the earth, and we minimize the glory that is to come. And what we need to do is the opposite. We need to say, hey, this problem that I have, it's momentary light affliction, because I'm going to experience the glory of God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hey, that is worth a ton. So 24 hours of labor, as hard as that is, pales in comparison to a full life of your child. Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer, she was blinded at 6 weeks old. She had a pastor, a well-meaning pastor, say to her one day, "I think it's a great pity, Fanny, that the master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you." And she said to him, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition of the Lord, it would have been that I would be born blind?" The pastor said, "Well, why would that be?" She said, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." That's the right perspective, is, hey, this stuff doesn't mean anything. What is coming, that is what has my heart. And the rest of this is just momentary light affliction. It's going to be over. And listen, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. And none of us will remember anything about the suffering here on the earth. It'll all be washed away in glory. So let's start thinking about that. Creation is groaning. The Christian is groaning for his return. And this last one is a shocker. The Holy Spirit is groaning for his return. Look what it says in verse 26. "And in the same way," "the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." In the same way that you are enduring suffering, that you are patiently enduring. Well, he says in verse 25, "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." In the same way, the Holy Spirit is there. He's waiting with us as we wait for the Lord's return. And he's groaning with us in just the same way. And you know, we have so, as a society, maligned the Holy Spirit. People don't understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he came to do, what his office work is. And we have churches that have gone hog wild on all these crazy things, and they attribute all that to the Holy Spirit. That's not biblical. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. Three things that are mentioned here. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us to patiently endure. Just as we are waiting with perseverance for the coming of the Lord, the Holy Spirit helps us to patiently endure. He helps us in our sufferings to endure those. Hupomone is the Greek word. It means to stay under, to remain. That's the word that's translated perseverance. And you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus called him the helper, the paraclete. A paraclete is one called alongside to render aid. That's the Holy Spirit. And he lives inside. And he lives inside of us to render aid, to help us, no matter what we're going through, to help us deal with it. So that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law, that those things would just be overflowing in our lives, regardless of the circumstances. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can face any difficulty and any problem through Christ who strengthens me, who lives in me by his Spirit, because the Spirit gives joy, the Spirit gives power, the Spirit gives peace, unrelated to circumstances. Doesn't have anything to do, "Well, I'll have joy if I have good circumstances." No, you have joy because you're trusting in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, and you can rejoice in him because he never leaves you, never forsakes you, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. He helps us to patiently endure. And the Holy Spirit prays for us to walk by faith. He is interceding for us. Now it says that he helps our weakness. That is our moral frailty. We have the Spirit inside, but we're encased with flesh that wants to do evil. And so the Spirit helps us with our moral frailty, and he helps us to walk by faith. Now, some people have taken this verse, the groaning's too deep for words, and they say, well, that means speaking in tongues. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about speaking in tongues. It's not talking about speaking in tongues. It's talking about intercessory prayer. Groaning's too deep for words means you don't have words. So it's not something that you're going to hear. And there's nowhere in the Bible, anytime you read about speaking in tongues, tongues are known languages. You want to know about speaking in tongues? Read Acts chapter 2. That tells us the most about tongues. It's a known language. Tongues are for, not for believers, but for unbelievers. And the people were noticing when they started to speak in tongues in Acts chapter 2, they're speaking of the mighty deeds of God in our native language. How do they know that? Tongues is not intercessory prayer. Tongues was evangelism. It was sharing and speaking the mighty deeds of God. And so this is talking about something different. The Holy Spirit inside, he is praying for us. He is interceding for us because we don't know how to pray as we should. And so he's praying for us. And God the Father, who searches the hearts, 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Lord doesn't see as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, Jesus, it says in Romans 8:34, he's interceding for us. So you have Jesus in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us. He's interceding for the saints. You have the Holy Spirit inside. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. And we have a good example of this in Luke chapter 22, where at the Last Supper, you remember Peter told Jesus, hey, everybody may desert you, but I'm not going to desert you. I'm with you. I'm ready to go to prison and to death. And Jesus said this to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, to shake you to the very core. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. The Lord prayed for him. What did he pray? That your faith wouldn't fail. And what do we know about Peter? His faith didn't fail. His faith faltered, but it didn't fail. It can't fail. Why? Because the Lord holds him, and the Lord prays for him, and the Lord intercedes for him. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside who prays for the true believers. He prays for the saints according to the will of God. He prays for us if we're true believers. Jesus is interceding for us. And this idea that you could lose your salvation is ludicrous. Listen, you mark it down. If you could lose your salvation because it depended on you, you would lose your salvation. And I would lose my salvation. And we would lose our salvation. And the Apostle Paul would have lost his salvation. You're not kept by your strength. You're kept by his strength and by his prayers and by his power. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God, and he will not let you go. And so the Holy Spirit is praying for you and me. What is he praying? That we would patiently endure the sufferings, the difficulties, that we would have joy and peace regardless of the circumstances, that we would stay connected to Jesus, and that our faith would not fail. It might get shaken as Peter's faith was shaken, but it's not going to fail. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit works in us to complete our salvation. To complete our salvation. Because he's never going to let us go. We're sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given a pledge, an arabon, a down payment, an engagement ring, the pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And here's how the Holy Spirit works. So when he shall come, Jesus said, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. And every Christian has a testimony that God convicted me that I was a sinner and I was lost and I needed Jesus. In some form or fashion, it boils down to there has to be conviction from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. And then he is the converter. The moment you pray to receive Christ, you give your life to Jesus, he comes in to live inside of you through the person of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you alive with Christ. He is the convictor. He's the converter. He's the comforter and the counselor. He's the one that works in you in this thing called sanctification. He's the one that chips away those rough spots in you to make you the person that God wants you to be. Take away the dross from the silver and there comes out a vessel for the smith. And he's all the time skimming off the dross in our lives. The convictor, the converter, the comforter, and the completer. Because one day we're going to be made like Christ. Philippians 1:6. For I am confident, Paul says, of this, that he who began a good work in you, who's that? The Holy Spirit. That he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not going to leave you unfinished. And the moment that you're justified, you can mark it down. You will one day be glorified because it's not on you, it's on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to see you to completion.
We hope that today's message, Future Glory, has been encouraging and reassuring for you today. Even if you're struggling with, well, life on this earth, the categories of troubles we have seem endless, and we all have had, are having, or will have troubles. But knowing the future glory of Jesus to come can be incredibly comforting and a blessing to rest in. You can find a free download of today's program when you go to fromhisheart.org, click the Listen tab, along with the free download of Pastor Jeff's message outline notes. This month on From His Heart, we've been airing the new 6-lesson series called More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. It's a fabulous study of what has been called often the greatest chapter in the Bible in the greatest book of the Bible. One of the things we're learning is that when we get frustrated in life and think everything is against us, we're only looking at the pieces of the story. But we need to understand deeply in our hearts that God sees the whole picture, and he works all things together for our good and for our glory. Are you there yet, or do you struggle? If the answer is yes, then you'll want to join in this study by getting the whole series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans 8, on a USB flash drive, digital download, CDs or DVDs, your choice. You'll be captivated by the practical and eternal truths revealed in Romans chapter 8. This series is our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount from His Heart this month. You can get yours when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And thank you for helping us expand this ministry as we celebrate our 20th year broadcasting the good news of Jesus this year. Pastor Jeff has never taken any support from this ministry. It's a labor of love for him, and together we are glorifying God until his future glory. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org, make your gift, and request More Than Conquerors. We also hope that you'll visit our website every day where you can hear a daily Real Hope Minute from Pastor Jeff. Sign up for the weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter and also link to all of our social media channels. Just go to fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us and trusting that our program today, Future Glory, blessed your life and that you'll be right back here on Wednesday for the next lesson in the More Than Conquerors series. Join us then for the message for good and for glory. That's when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.